I guess the next slide. Although traditionally, we've been letting consumers know of the ticket to work and their option to assign their ticket upon closure. But we were looking to create some options to improve the handoff. Because to be quite honest with you, the handoff, we had many fumbles. There were many different reasons, but the handoff didn't go as smoothly as certainly I would like. And I'm quite certain there's a number of consumers who were closed out, and there was never a significant handoff to the EN upon closure. We weren't trying to create a whole new program, but we were looking at making the existing program more advantageous to all. Previously, I had presented on our program here, our Partnership Plus. We call it Partnership Plus Advantage. And I'm not going to go into great detail on that. But basically, the counselor explains the initiative to the consumer. And there's an agreement that we would provide proactive post-employment services. And the consumer would select a community rehab provider who hopefully was also an EN, and they would initiate a referral to the department that I oversee, the Statewide Employment Services Department, of which we also have VR counselors. And we would facilitate to initiate the handoff with the provider, the EN, the terms of services and the start date. Once we have an agreement, the consumer is placed in the status 32 and transferred to this department. And then upon the referral to an EN, the consumer then can assign their ticket. The way we would do it is we would write a contract order to that provider, EN. Basically, it would be a minimum of 2 hours a month, up to 10 hours a month for 8 months. Our existing hourly rate is $34.24 an hour. The type of services and the utilizations of authorized hours a month are really based on the consumer's needs, and we would not exceed 8 months. So it really was kind of a kickstart, if you will, to the handoff, encouraging the referral provider to accept the consumer and to facilitate some compensation for their initial services. So again, we consider it more as a proactive post-employment support. Next slide, please. The key objectives were we were trying to explore and develop a methodology to enhance the utilization of the ticket to work. And we were really trying to create a true partnership between State VR and our employment networks. But one of the keys were we're trying to encourage our community rehab providers to become ENs. We didn't have that. We still don't have that many ENs. When we were exploring the feasibility of developing this partnership, we were first needed to be very much aware of the present factors, the issues, concerns, and actually the boundaries for all, for each involved. In other words, we had to also understand what might be the obstacles or the deal breakers. Each member of this partnership has mandates, procedures, issues, and or priorities that needed to be addressed in order to implement the program. Our attempt was and still is to understand those concerns and to put together an acceptable program by looking at it from each member's perspective. Next slide, please. Program goals. We had a number of program goals, we needed to identify them if this program was to succeed. Next slide, please. And it's not rocket science. We We wanted to enhance the services to our consumers. That was our first priority. Certainly the reduction in recidivism was important. Leverage funding. Funding's tight all around, both federal and state. And so we wanted to leverage the funding that we were getting to provide services and leverage the funding that our providers were getting. Certainly the promotion of the ticket. Like Utah, we do cost reimbursement, now exclusively cost reimbursement. And yes, we wanted to increase our cost reimbursement. It was important to strengthen our relationship with our providers. We use our providers quite a bit. Not all of our consumers go through the provider community, but a large amount do, particularly those who are receiving public benefits. So in recognizing our partners, we had to recognize who are they? Well, they're the beneficiaries, foremost. They're the community rehab providers and employment networks, hopefully, if not the same, becoming the same. And certainly, understanding our other partner, the Social Security Administration. So by recognizing the mandates and our ideals of our partners, we designed the program on a plan on how to achieve these goals. Because of the nature of our business, VR, we drew upon our experience. The basic premise in Voc Rehab is to look at where you want to go, to evaluate where you are, and to develop and implement a plan to get there. When we looked at this plan, we used that same approach. Next slide, please. As I said, enhanced services, foremost in our priorities and our goals. In order to achieve enhancement of services to our consumers, we needed to increase communication. We needed to be more responsive and to have the ability to react more quickly with comprehensive services to meet their needs. The primary factor in enhancing services are based upon three primary steps of Voc Rehab. Choose. Informed choice is only a choice if the person is informed. So we needed to make sure that the individuals, the consumers we served, knew that they had a choice. So choose, get, and keep. The get part of Voc Rehab is employment. And we wanted to increase the number of placements, the number of successful rehabs, but also keep. We wanted to maintain the consumers in employment after they were placed. Voc Rehab doesn't work very well when you have choose, get, lose, choose, get, lose. So we like the definition. I think Bill Anthony of BU coined it a while back, was choose, get, and keep. And the way we do that is with this proactive post-employment services, particularly in the keep category. Next slide, please. Leverage funding. You can see on the slide that we've been at this partnership plus advantage probably well 2 years full, maybe a little bit into beginning was kind of like a kickoff, but about $200,000 of additional revenue has been brought to the provider community. And certainly the providers that are ENs and that are serving individuals who would have achieved some threshold amounts, additional revenue would have been possible. In fiscal 12 and 13, we encumbered $201,000, and to date we've expended $186,500. Uh, 134 individuals have exited the program, and many of them continue to receive services to maintain employment by receiving those additional supports through the Ticket to Work. Hoping to expand by prioritizing this program, last week I met with the district directors. We have three districts, and along with the assistant commissioner, and we're looking to develop a pilot where we would have one area office in each district. Currently we have 25 area offices that would commit to making referrals for all of the consumers that they close out who are on SSI or DI. We currently rehab close out successfully about 3,500 individuals a year, and about 1,500 of them are individuals with the ticket. So as much as I'm pleased that the program is progressing, I'm not as pleased as I want to be. I think we can get more referrals, and particularly many of the referrals that we're getting now, they're good referrals, but they're consumers that have been served through the provider community. And because of the nature of their disability and because of their challenges, many of those individuals will not be achieving SGA and maybe not even any of the milestone outcomes. So we have an awful lot of individuals that we've placed and closed successfully through our traditional voc rehab without using providers. I think it's important we get those referrals as well and refer them to our ENs. Number one, it will certainly help with our recidivism rate, but it also will provide additional revenue to the provider communities, our ENs. And once the word gets out that those providers are getting additional revenue, I'm hoping it'll encourage, convince more of our providers to become ENs. Next slide, please. The reduction in recidivism, big deal for us. While enrolled in the program, and again, our consumers in the program only go for 8 months before they're successfully closed out at 32 and hopefully continue to receive services if the provider is an EN. But only four of them have lost, only four individuals while enrolled in the program have lost their job due to performance issues. Our recidivism rate, according to research department, they're the ones with the numbers. When we started, it was like 27%. This is overall for our agency. And currently, it's at 15. Those individuals who have gone through our Partnership Plus Advantage program to date is 12.7, which is phenomenal. Preliminary numbers are encouraging, and we know the program is working. But, you know, it's important, and I think Jolene said it, and you all know it, this isn't the only factor. It's important to realize that the Partnership Plus program, our Partnership Plus Advantage program, is but one factor in the overall success of our reduction in recidivism. Next slide, please. You know, wanted to promote EN partner participation. That was one of our main goals. And we currently have 36 providers who are in this Partnership Plus program that we have. It's probably 60-plus providers in our state, but only seven local employment networks at the moment. So we know that our existing community rehab providers, our CRPs, have the knowledge, experience, and resources to participate as an EN. they're a natural. The Ticket to Work program continues to evolve, and we have an obligation to provide input and explore ways to optimize this initiative and to encourage participation. We, Voc Rehab, I believe, have a commitment to use all the tools in our belt, and I, for one, and our commissioner, and certainly many others, believe that the employment networks can be a valuable tool. Next slide, please. We do very well in Massachusetts with our cost reimbursement. I talked to our folks on the next floor down, the bean counters that send in the information and get the money back on our cost reimbursement. And this year to date, we received over $2 million. It was a very big increase from the prior years. Again, don't take this as it is all our partnership plus program. There's a lot of other factors. But the more individuals who have tickets in use with Voc Rehab that are successfully employed and remain employed will exponentially increase our cost reimbursement. In addition, the lower recidivism rate that I spoke of allows for more, or at least newer, individuals to receive services. Dan O'Brien talked about a win-win. It's a win-win-win situation. Consumer, Voc Rehab, and providers. Next step, please. It's important to strengthen our relationship with our providers, certainly with our consumers. It's not a us and them situation, even though at times it appears to be, especially when there's funding issues and rate setting and so forth. But as with any collaboration, there needs to be trust, a common belief in the value and success of achievable outcomes, as well as assurances that the partnership is mutually beneficial to all. The program reinforces our mutual goals and the established trust we share. And through the implementation of this program, the participants, we've demonstrated that it's mutually beneficial for all of us to work together to secure and provide a more efficient and effective program for our consumers to gain independence and self-sufficiency. Next slide, please. You know, I remember someone telling me if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. The Partnership Plus, our Partnership Plus program, and the Ticket to Work program is part of the solution. It isn't the only solution. We have looked at, in-house job placement employment specialists. The caseload being as such, in the days of old, our counselors do not have the capabilities to visit employers as they would like and do individual placements. We now have individuals, Voc Rehab people who have the role of connecting up with employers, and working with our Voc Rehab counselors and placing individuals. A better assessment, I think that's probably the major key in the reduction of recidivism, and meeting achievable outcomes, to better assess the individuals to know and to listen, to increase our communication, to tell it like it is, to identify realistic, achievable vocational goals through better assessment. Jolene talked about the WIPRM and the benefit specialist. Major key. As I said, we do have the program. We're one of two in Massachusetts. And I believe that the benefit specialists, along with along with the ticket, along with all the things that I've said, certainly has made great improvements in vocational rehabilitation. Next slide, please. Next slide. Since 2006, our benefits specialists, who are, by the way, housed out of this department, Statewide Employment Services Department, we've served over 35 individuals, of which 912 have been employed. We're averaging 20 hours a week, and our numbers are even higher in the data. I don't profess to be the research analyst. I do get this information from our research and development department, but our VR consumers that are receiving SSIDI are 25% more likely to be employed after receiving benefit specialist services. You've got to know the rules of the game before you start to play. The services of our benefit specialists, whether it's through WIPA or other resources, they're invaluable. However, I do have to make this point. It's only valuable if the information and services are provided by a trained, certified individual. Giving wrong information is worse than no information. We have the 7 benefit specialists. The program director of that program is also a certified CWIC, as I am. It's important that we all understand the current rules of engagement, if you will. It does no good to provide false information to our consumers. Next slide, please. You know, years ago they had a voc rehab. The voc rehab model was train in place, and we all know that doesn't exist today, or it really shouldn't exist the way it did in the days of old. Right now, it's place and train. A lot of planning and networking go into the development of this program before implementation. Presenting to senior staff, to those involved, hasn't always been easy. Sometimes state government moves at glacier speed. However, it's important that the program gets implemented. We didn't have everything together. We're still tweaking it. We're learning as we go. But in the meantime, our consumers are receiving the benefits of this program. And I'm hoping that if we can pilot this program, it's actually really promoting it. It's marketing it. We want to show to the counselors, to the area directors, and to senior staff that it works. When addressing this to the agency, to the commission, I really had to understand my audience. To be honest with you, counselors don't understand cost reimbursement. They understand recidivism, but their job is to get individual jobs and to place them. I had to present this to our counselors as this is letting our consumers know that we care about their placement. We want to have people following them after we close them. And supported employment, we do that. This department oversees supported employment, and that's different from this Partnership Plus program. We're talking about consumers that we know are going to need ongoing in the immediate future services. But the idea of consumers who have been on SSI, SSDI of both the years, and then to be able to be placed and closed in 90 days and not need some additional supports is needs to be looked at. For many of us, coming back from 2 weeks off from work is difficult. Never mind someone who is experiencing work either for the first time or at least the first time after they have become disabled. So in Massachusetts, we're working to enhance this program, and I'm looking to make it better. And that's my presentation. Thank you all.
Thank you, Jim. And we are now showing your slide with your contact information. And all of those of you on the call, please know that the PowerPoint will be available online tomorrow. I want to thank all of our speakers. They've done an outstanding job really stressing the points on the value of the benefit counselor, the specialist, having that certification, linking them with the VR counselors. It's coordination, collaboration, everything that we've heard of before. It's that ongoing process that's so important to make sure all those links do happen. At this point, we're going to open up the line for questions from those of you who've dialed in. And operator, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. And at this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just one moment to compile a Q&A roster.
While we wait for those questions, I want you to know that the chat line has been busy going back and forth among those of you asking questions. Looking at my coworker to see if there's any questions that we need to read out loud, and I think they've all been answered at this time.
Michelle, this is Jolene. May I answer one that it looks like is in the chat?
Oh, sure.
Okay, there was a question of if the benefit specialists in Utah are all part of VR, even though there's different funding sources. The answer is yes, they are part of vocational rehabilitation. They're employees of VR. But we do go out and try to get additional funding sources in grant form in order to fund additional benefit specialists. So currently we have a grant with Department of Workforce Services, and then we also will get a grant with Social Security, hopefully in August. But when the previous WIFA ended, that was really tough for our program, as it was for the whole nation, and we were facing potential layoffs of our benefit specialists, and vocational rehabilitation saw the need to continue providing those services. So we talked about, you know, VR, would you pick up this benefit specialist salary until hopefully WIPA is refunded, and then we will start funding that benefit specialist under WIPA funding again. Also, Jim, thank you for mentioning the certification. All of our benefit specialists in Utah are CWIC certified or are on track to become CWIC certified, and so that is very important that they be trained, certified CWICs.
Thank you for that clarification. So it sounds like it's several funding streams supporting your unit right now.
Correct. There will be three, hopefully, in August, but vocational rehabilitation being our largest funding person. But and then also we are employees of vocational rehabilitation.
Right. Okay, excellent. Thank you for that.
Michelle, if I could add, one of the things that we're looking into, Jolene, maybe we could talk afterwards, is I'm trying to explore the possibility of those individuals who receive benefit specialists services outside of Social Security's grant could be factored into the formula for cost reimbursement. Certainly, we have to come up with reliable documentation and come up with an acceptable formula to Social Security, but I believe that those additional services provided Bivoke Rehab outside of the counselors might be a cost reimbursable factor. So I'm exploring that.
Okay. And that's a legitimate question, you know, and I would think, I don't want to put Dan on the spot right now, but that would be a policy question that would need to go to SSA. So please, you know, forward us your thoughts and I can send them forward for you. Operator, do we have any questions?
And again, if you would like to ask a question, that's star one. You do have a question from Lionel John from Self-Sufficient Thorough Employment. Your line is open.
Thank you. How can we help you?
Yes, one of my questions is that and I was wondering possibly if this could, I'm not sure, but being that I am a National Employment Network with Tick to Work program, is it possible that we can have a partnership with a vocational rehab outside of our state? Our state actually don't participate in the Partnership Plus with the Tick to Work program. So I think it might be a good incentive to employment networks as well as vocational rehab if they can have partnerships outside with employment networks outside of their state.
Well, I'll start the conversation and then our speakers can join in. I'm not going to ask you to self-identify which state you're from, but all of our states do participate on one level with Partnership Plus. They may not have a formal agreement in place, but they do participate at a certain level with Partnership Plus. As far as a national EN working with the states represented from our speakers, I would have to have them speak to that. You do have their contact information, again, which will be available to you through the PowerPoint presentation, which will be online tomorrow. But Jolie or Jim, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I can. In Massachusetts, our employment services are purchased through a service delivery system called Comprehensive Employment Initial Services, Integrated Services. And basically, our providers need to respond to an RFQ and become qualified for us to purchase any vocational services from them. There's nothing that I know of that would preclude a national organization from applying to that RFQ, but it would be necessary to become a qualified provider before you could participate we could purchase services from you. That RFQ opens and closes. It's not a Mass Rehab Commission initiative. It's from our executive office of Health and Human Services. So you would have to contact them, the Office of Service Delivery, to find out if you could become qualified.
And in Utah, I would encourage you to talk to Don Uchida or one of our directors within vocational rehabilitation for that. But we would always take your referrals for work incentive planning. Again, we're able to serve anyone in Utah who has received Social Security disability benefits. But as far as working with vocational rehabilitation, talk to Don Uchida.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm going to say is that, you know, we get lots of calls from ticket holders from across the country, and we have had referred several of our ticket holders who we realized that we were not able to provide the services that they were actually needing to vocational rehab. So, you know, I think with the Partnership Plus should be a national thing, where that way you can have national ENs being able to easily work with vocational rehab in other parts of the state as well. Because there, you know, there are definitely employers that that are national that I work with, and that can definitely I can refer some consumers to those positions or openings that they may have.
Okay, and I think you're going to hear pretty a common thread across all the different states would be to first basically have a contract or be approved as a provider through just the the systems that VR actually has in place through the contract system to become what Jim and Jolene were both saying. The CRP, Community Rehab Provider, is a process in each state that allows the Voc Rehab Agency to purchase services from community providers. So I know that's a lot of jargon and a lot of information, but it's definitely a good place to start with the conversation and pick one state to see how that works and then to move on to the next state. But as our speakers have said, there's nothing to preclude them once you are approved as a community rehab provider from not participating in the Partnership Plus program. So that's good to hear. Do you have any follow-up on that, or I'll move on to the next question? Okay. Operator, do we have another question?
You do have a question from line of David from DARS. Your line is open.
Hi, I just I had a question and a comment. For the gentleman that asked about Partnership Plus and EMs in other states, I know we do have a few Partnership Plus agreements with groups that work with multiple states, and we look at that on a case-by-case basis, so it never hurts to reach out. But my question goes to really both James and Jolene, and we are heavily utilizing professionals that do work incentives services. And can either of you speak to, do you ever use those services at eligibility or earlier than at employment? And I missed that part during the presentations. But we're getting more and more requests for those services earlier in the plan. Thank you.
This is Jolene. If you look back at a prior presentation that I did for the effective practices, we are in Utah. We're trying to
vadars.org.
We are trying to access.
Someone will be with you shortly.
This
is the Department for Aging and Rehabilitative Services. An
did somebody
agency
put me on hold?
Commonwealth of Virginia that provides.
I can hear you, but I hear that also.
Oh, okay. I'll try to block that part out. Okay, so we're trying to get the clients earlier into work incentive planning. So we are trying to hit them actually at the same time their eligibility has been determined.
With you shortly.
The entire idea with that is to be able to give them those financial tools and let them know where they're at with their benefits before they do their initial IPE with the counselor, so they know, again, this is how much money I want to make per hour, this is the kind of job I'm looking at, these are the kind of hours I want to work, because I want to make this much money per month. And again, if you can get them into employment, they're going to be more likely to try out more employment, trying to get raises, those kind of things. But yes, we are trying to hit them right at eligibility.
Yeah, I guess I'd comment. Sometimes it's just a capacity issue. Even though we have seven benefits specialists, we have an awful lot of consumers, because with our Social Security WIPA program, certainly the individual does not have to be a Voc Rehab client. So we don't always, or we can't, accommodate everybody during eligibility, but certainly I agree with Jolene, the earlier the better. We have arrangements with our area offices that at least during plan development to be able to meet with the consumer and begin the process.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, David, for that question. Operator, do we have another question?
There are no other questions over the phone at this time.
Okay, thank you. Our speakers, Jim or Jolene, do we want to make any final comments? I know we're just about to the hour and a half, and we thought we wouldn't last that long, but it's just about 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. Jolene, you had closing comments?
I was just going to say, if anybody has questions regarding, you know, Utah's program and how potentially, you know, things could be utilized in different states, and we're real proud of our program. We've been around for almost 13 years now since the the original BPAO grant came out, and we really, again, this whole program has talked about the impact of doing work incentive planning and being able to help vocational rehabilitation counselors help the individual become employed. So I think working as a partnership together makes all the difference in the world.
I totally agree with you. Jim, do you have any closing comments?
I guess the only comment I have is that, not to discourage anyone, but it hasn't been easy. Maybe it shouldn't be easy, but in trying to get this off the ground, we really had to convince a lot of people that this was important, and it's slowly working, and not at the speed I'd like to see it happen, but I think as the numbers show that this is a valuable service, as our counselors, and it's key to get the counselor buy-in on it. Our commissioner and deputy commissioner and senior staff, they're certainly for it. But unless you have counselor buy-in, it isn't going to go very smoothly. So I do personal outreach to all of our area offices. I sit down at their staff meetings and can explain it. So it's a challenge, but I think it's well worth it. Thank you.
Oh, thank both of you. And, you know, there's nothing like, for my world, data says, oh, my goodness, this is working, and we're on a great trend. And if it wasn't positive, we would have been able to identify what is not working to regroup and rethink and still move forward. But the data is showing us that it is working. Benefit counselors do have an impact via the work through the VR counselor and then the handoff to our employment network. So it's of the hour, and I'm going to conclude our session. I want to thank all of you for calling in, and nice job our speakers again. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference call, and you may now disconnect.